Wisconsin ranked 10th in the nation for overall child well-being, according to a new report. But black and brown children fare differently. It's Tuesday, June 20th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, a Wisconsin generator manufacturer is facing two lawsuits for allegedly refusing to pay suppliers. And some northern Wisconsin towns will see fewer residents paying property taxes. Reporter Danielle Kading will explain that for us. Stay with us.
Gardening in Wisconsin is a year-round job, and Garden Talk is here for you throughout every season. We help you battle relentless pests and pick your favorite mulch. We also cover how to care for houseplants and successful methods for starting seeds inside. We want to know what keeps your garden growing. Join me, Larry Mueller, for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network, Fridays at 11 and Saturday mornings at 6, or online anytime.
A new report ranks Wisconsin 10th in the nation for overall child well-being. But Corrine Hess reports that black and brown children fare much worse, especially in areas of education and poverty.
The annual Kids Count report by the Annie E. Casey Foundation analyzes how children are succeeding in the areas of education, health, economic well-being, and family. While Wisconsin children overall rank 10th, Emily Miota with Kids Forward says black and brown children are more likely to be living in poverty. Children of color are also not doing as well as their white counterparts in school.
Closing these gaps will obviously be key to ensuring that everyone in Wisconsin has the opportunity to thrive, especially Wisconsin's black and brown families.
The report also focused on the high cost of child care and urged lawmakers to come up with a solution. Last week, Wisconsin Republicans cut child care funding from the governor's proposed budget. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Six teenagers were shot and wounded after a Juneteenth celebration in Milwaukee Monday afternoon. Police said those injured ranged in age from 14 to 19. None had life-threatening injuries. A 17-year-old among the injured is believed to have been a shooter. Investigators are looking for others who may have been involved. The shooting happened just after the close of a festival and parade on the city's north side. Mayor Cavalier Johnson spoke at a press conference later in the day. The mayor said the area was still crowded with people when the shooting happened.
Today, there were families out here. There were kids out here. There were babies out here.
Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration is one of the longest running in the country. The city has held a parade to mark the event since the 1970s. State lawmakers discuss the future of higher education in Wisconsin on Monday as the legislature considers cutting state university budgets and removing taxing authority of tech colleges. The state Senate committee heard from leaders of the University of Wisconsin system and Wisconsin Technical College system. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mohn says they've cut 600 employees since 2014 in light of a decade-long tuition freeze and prior budget cut. Meanwhile, Republicans are considering cutting another $30 million because of objections to diversity programs.
The possible cut from UW system that's being discussed would be a really challenging blow to not just UWM, but really all the public universities as we really continue to graduate the workforce that is needed to meet the demand.
UW system data show 10 of the 13 universities are projecting a combined deficit of around $57 million. A Wisconsin generator manufacturer is facing two lawsuits for allegedly refusing to pay suppliers. As Joe Schultz reports, the lawsuit comes as the company saw decreased sales to start the year.
Spartronics is a manufacturer that helps connect businesses with other suppliers. It filed lawsuits against Waukesha-based Generac earlier this month in state and federal courts in Pennsylvania. Spartronics says Generac ordered more materials than it needed and has refused to pay roughly $44 million for excess inventory. The Waukesha company says it strongly disputes those allegations. Generac had decreased sales to start the year. Here's CEO Aaron Youngfeld at a first quarter earnings call last month.
Year over year, overall net sales decreased 22% to $888 million.
The company was also recently fined $15.8 million by the federal government for generators that posed safety risks. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin's pollinator populations, like bumblebee species, are declining. But as Gabby Vinnick reports, some lawmakers want the state to address that.
Pollinators like bees, butterflies, and beetles transport pollen from one flower to another. That helps plants reproduce. Representative Lee Snodgrass, a Democrat from Appleton, is introducing a package of bills aimed at raising awareness and protecting pollinator health. She says those goals should be bipartisan.
Certainly pollinators is not political. It really is an area where we all recognize the importance of pollinators in our state, both agriculturally and economically.
She pointed to one bill that would designate the rusty-patched bumblebee as Wisconsin's native insect. The DNR announced seven more state parks will receive funding from the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin to increase pollinator habitat. Gabby Vinnick, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we'll learn more about how a federal ruling that was seen as a victory for tribal sovereignty will mean some northern Wisconsin counties will be collecting less property taxes. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, a federal appeals court ruling last summer found the state cannot force northern Wisconsin tribes or their members to pay taxes on properties they own within reservation lands. The ruling is a victory for tribal sovereignty, but it also means fewer residents in towns and counties affected by the ruling are going to be paying property taxes. Danielle Kading has more.
A black lab pit bull mix named Animoosh barks at the door of Sandy Derrigan's home. Derrigan has been living on property in the town of Sanborn since 1979. For most of her life, she and her late husband Tom paid taxes on the land. But it turns out they never owed a dime.
Yeah, I paid taxes all those years. I'll never get it back. But my grandchildren, they're assured a permanent homeland. That's what's important.
The 66-year-old Derrigan is a member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, and her land is on the reservation. In 2018, four northern Wisconsin tribes, including Bad River, sued the state and nearly a dozen towns in federal court, arguing that they were being illegally taxed. Last year, they won. A federal appeals court ruled lands that are part of the reservation can't be taxed. Derrigan was relieved.
We have our permanent homeland here with a threat of forced removal, and that means there's no taxation here.
Bad River Tribal Chairman Mike Wiggins Jr. says it also means tribal property can't be taken away.
There is a bit of a deep breath and a recognition of the change in reality that our tribal members who are private property owners within the reservation landscape, that their homes will not be foreclosed on and taken by state taxation processes.
The tribes argued the 1854 treaty that set aside their reservations gave them immunity from state taxation for all time. The state had argued that it could tax any land that had ever been sold to non-tribal members, even if the tribes later bought it back. When the ruling became final in November, 85% of taxable property in the Ashland County town of Sanborn was taken off the tax rolls, including Derrigan's land. That meant taxes skyrocketed for non-tribal residents. Sanborn resident Scott Breading told the Ashland County Board his property tax bill more than doubled from 2021. He paid roughly $22,000 last year.
Nobody said, you don't have to pay it, because if we didn't pay it, they would have foreclosed on our house.
Ashland County and four other counties expect to collect $1.8 million less in revenue over the next 2 years, and they'll lose $3.6 million in payments tribal members withheld while their lawsuit was pending. Bayfield County Administrator Mark Abels-Allison says they're lobbying lawmakers for state aid.
We think that it's a bigger picture issue and that there should be a role that both the state and federal government plays in assisting our communities.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers proposed roughly $1.1 million in state funding under the next 2-year state budget to aid towns and counties affected by the ruling. If that's included in the final budget, they would receive more than $500,000 in the first year, and that money would be phased out over 10 years. Republican Representative Chance Green of Grand View says he and other lawmakers are trying to negotiate a solution.
I believe that it is on us to help the counties and townships involved.
Derrigan sympathizes with non-tribal residents because she thinks everyone works hard to pass something on to future generations. But she says the tribe and its members have lost lands because they couldn't afford to pay taxes.
And truly, you know, if you're not a member, they shouldn't have been here to begin with. This was our land set aside.
As discussions are ongoing, Derrigan says the tribe is proposing its own tax on lands within the reservation. The proposal would exempt tribal members, but it would require non-tribal residents who own lakefront property to pay a 5% tax. It would also allow the tribal council to seize lands for any unpaid bills. Wiggins, the tribe's chair, says Bad River's tax proposal isn't meant to be adversarial toward non-tribal residents. He says they're just like any other government, trying to generate revenue so that they'll be able to survive moving forward. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crowe. Our producers are Mallory Chang and John Davis. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us that rating and review. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.